The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jongi Football. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A little bit of Rockets talk. Talked a little Kansas City there in the last segment. Very excited about this this project we're working on. A lot of people asking about it. Should be ready to go next week. So that's how fast we do things around here.
Yeah, quick turnaround.
Come in for a couple days and then we'll have it up and available for you next week, and it'll be a very cool thing for if you're a Royal fan. And hopefully next year we'll be doing one for the Astros. But 713-780-ESPN and SpotRack just did a updated version of the average, what the average price is going to be for each Major League Baseball player next year. So Price and Cabrera are tied at $31 million a year. Kershaw right behind them at 30.7. Max Scherzer fourth at 30. A-Rod, 27.5. Justin Verlander, 27. John Lester, 25.8. Josh Hamilton, 25. Felix Hernandez, 25. Ryan
Josh
Howard, 25.
Hamilton.
Giancarlo Stanton, 25. So, and right below those guys, pretty good bargain. Mike Trout, $24
million. Yeah.
So, anyway, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Somebody asked about how the Price contract would affect Dallas Keuchel's negotiations, and they're in different circumstances, obviously, but
right.
Keuchel's technically under team control, or at least arbitration team control, for the next 3 years. My guess is they're going to come to some sort of agreement to buy out those years, and he's going to make a reasonable amount of money over the next couple years, and then in 2017, he's going to sign his big boy mega contract.
Yeah,
if he continues to pitch like this,
I could also see them trying to work out a long term deal in the 15 a year range with him that he might take.
I think that'd be dumb at this point.
Maybe, although he's also not a guy who started his career at 22 years old in the bigs.
True.
Either. So and I don't know how many. By the end of that contract, I don't know how many years he's going to have left. So if the Astros offer you, instead of in lieu of arbitration, a long term deal, 5 or 6 years. At an average between 15 and 18, don't you think about it?
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Let's grab a phone call. How about Ben? What is going on, Ben?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
Sounds good. Well, I was just, I think I was on my text a little bit ago about the return of Demo and also the loss of Josh Smith being an issue, because whenever I played the I was, pure spot-up shooter, and the easiest way to catch and shoot would be from the inside out, and rather than swinging it around the wings like we've been doing the whole year. And if you look at how the team played last year, it was always either Demo or Josh Smith being the one setting the screen, and then James Harden would drop the little pocket pass to him, and they would either flip it up top to Dwight Howard or continue rolling to the basket or swing it to the corner if they double off of Ariza. And that was kind of how the ball movement rolled. And so if you look at the three big guys that are playing now, none of those three guys played at all last year during the regular season between Jones, Dwight, and Capella. And all three of them are terrible, terrible passers. So if you try to replicate what they did last year, there's just not the same competency of passers out there, the guys that understand how to move the ball. And so I think just getting Demo back and having somebody that understands how to move the ball around and get people shots in good positions from the inside out will just naturally make Dwight have more space, have James Harden have more space, and naturally make guys like Corey Brewer and Trevor Ariza just get better looks and easier looks rather than catching it from their side and going up. They're actually catching it from straight away looking at the basket.
I don't disagree with that, but the problem is Clint Capella has arguably been your best player so far this season.
Oh, I do not disagree.
So whose minutes are
but he's also not a great passer.
But whose minutes is Demo going to take? Where are those minutes going to come from? Dwight?
Terrence Jones. Terrence Jones is horrible.
Well, Terrence Jones is bad.
They need to trade him for a pure spot-up shooter.
Oh, well, they want to trade.
If you're a team that's going to lead the league in three-point attempts, why do you not have a single guy that's over 40% career three-pointer?
Listen, I know everybody wants to trade every bad player. That's always the goal, is to trade your bad players for somebody else's good players. That's just not how it works. But I agree. I do think Demo will help when he gets back, but I don't know how much.
And at some point, you need to get something out of Ty Lawson. And maybe you need to get him back on the sauce. I don't know. But you've got to get that guy playing some decent basketball. Let's try Steve. What is up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sports.
Hey, my comment is, with these contracts that are just monsters, a lot of the value that's being paid for is their earlier years in those contracts. And for the most part, that's where the value's come in. Later on, it's just, you know, I kind of feel like maybe it seems like a bad deal, but I think those earlier years need to be evaluated.
No, you don't pay guys for what they've done. I disagree with that. I'm not paying anybody for what they've already done. They got paid for that.
But that's what free agency is.
Yeah, you're paying for what you expect them to do going forward.
No, you're paying guys for what you think they're going to do, but they're getting paid based on what they already did. More often than not, you don't get that performance out of those guys.
No.
If they're getting that, do you really think you're going to get the same David Price that you've seen over the last 5 years? Even for the last 7 years, over the 7 years of this contract. So you're paying a premium for a guy because he's a free agent, so you can get that kind of quality player in, but you're paying him for what he's done, not what he's going to do for you. That was my big beef when they gave Bagwell the big extension that they did here. They were doing it based on what he had done, not what he was going to do. That's the biggest mistake you make in free agency. And it's hard not to do it, because there's not a lot of 26 and 27-year-old free agents out there that you can give that kind of money to and know they're going to be productive over the life of the contract. Just doesn't happen very often. But if that's a going rate for a guy, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Are you having internet problems over there?
No, I was earlier. Well, I think I was having computer problems.
Now I'm having internet problems. I don't know what the heck happened.
My interwebs are good.
Huh. I'm going to have to restart. That's not good. Oh, well. We will have the college football arena. John, are we doing that today at 6 o'clock? So we'll have the next to last of the playoff polls. I don't anticipate any surprises here. I think it's going to be pretty clear cut. Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Iowa, or Iowa, Michigan State.
Didn't they put Iowa in the top four last week?
Yeah, I think they did.
Or did they not?
No, they did. So. And I think we're down to – I think Oklahoma's in there for sure. I don't see any way they fall out at this point.
I don't think there's any chance Oklahoma falls out.
Iowa-Michigan State winner, I think, is in for sure. And we talked about this a little bit. I don't anticipate that – I don't see any way Alabama loses. I think the only possibility of shaking things up is a Clemson loss to North Carolina.
But if that happens, it throws a big wrench into some things. Because then it comes down to North Carolina versus Ohio State versus Stanford. And all those teams are going to have some sort of a claim that they should get
Stanford,
last spot.
If Stanford wins.
Assuming Stanford beats USC.
I don't think the Stanford beating USC again really helps them that much. I don't know that doesn't give you another quality win. And you already have that quality win. So to me, it's going to be Ohio State if North Carolina houses Clemson, which I don't see happening. If they beat them badly, yeah, I think they jump in there. But yeah. I don't see that happening. If they beat them, it's going to be a close, fluky kind of thing. And I don't think that'll be good enough. And I think the committee would love to get Ohio State back in there.
Oh, I know they'd love to get them back in there. But I think they'd love to get Stanford back in there, too. I feel bad. The team I would feel bad for is North Carolina. Because if North Carolina beats Clemson, that's going to be obviously the best win anybody's had all season long, and it's probably not good enough.
Yeah, because they just don't have enough else on their resume.
Yeah, they don't have enough equity built up now, and also they haven't been given enough love in the rankings. That said, what were they last week in those rankings?
All right. Well, up until I think they got the 10th last week, but okay. Up until then they were 18th, I believe.
No, they were 14th okay. last week. That's a problem.
Yeah, we had them 10th. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's a problem. You're not going to make it. One win, even if it's against Clemson, isn't going to take you from 14-1. It's just not going to happen.
No, and that's a shame, but there's certain teams that they've basically blown off all year on that committee that they've clearly had no interest in. I just don't know. It'll be interesting to me to see, for instance, where they put UH after they beat Navy, who they did have a lot of love for.
Yeah.
If that will get, you know, whether that gets them to 15 where Navy was, or whether they just put them at 21 or wherever. And
I mean, all that matters is they're the highest ranked.
Yeah. And whoever wins out of them in Temple is going to be the highest ranked.
So teams like that, it doesn't matter as much.
No, they're not going to. We're not talking about the playoff part, but I do think it kind of goes to how they view those teams. And North Carolina's been one of those that they've looked at the same way. It's just they have never moved them up or given them credit for anything all year long. And that's why they were 18 and then, I guess, 14 last week, you said. That's too low for that.
But to answer your question, my guess is no, Houston doesn't move up to 15. I mean, that'd be a tremendous jump from out of the rankings to 15.
Yeah, but, okay, you just beat number 15 handily.
Right.
One loss, same as right. they had before that.
But we haven't seen anybody make a move like that.
No, but to me, they should. But, you know, that's...
Well, I also thought Navy was maybe a little too high to begin with.
Maybe.
I don't know that I'd put Navy ahead of Oregon or Ole Miss or TCU.
I wouldn't have had them ahead of... Well, frankly, I wouldn't have had them ahead of UH, but...
Yeah.
That's just me.
Navy, what's funny is Navy was kind of getting by on... what their loss was. Navy didn't have any really incredible wins. They had the same wins UH did. They had the Memphis win, and that was nice. But there wasn't another win on their schedule that you were like, wow, that's a really solid win. What it came down to was they played at Notre Dame. They got handled, by the way.
Yeah.
But they played a team that people respect, and UH didn't have that.
Yeah, which is... a little surprising to me because, I mean, yeah, Louisville's down a little bit, but you went in and beat them in their place. And your win over them was comparable to Clemson's win over them in their place. And I know Vanderbilt's not great, but Vanderbilt was playing its best football when you did that to them. I mean, that's two pretty good wins for a program of that level versus what, you know, what it's not like.
It's better than what Navy's done. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, but and they scheduled those teams. So anyway, well. These things happen.
But when is that? 6 o'clock, Joe?
Yeah, 6 o'clock. All so right. we'll do that, and then we'll react to it.
I think the real question that's left is where are they going to fall? What's the order going to be 1 through 4 when it's all said and done? Because I think that matters.
Because I say Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Iowa, Michigan State.
Okay. Well, after the last games, you think it stays the same?
After the last games?
Assuming, let's say Clemson, Alabama, and Michigan State all win. You still think it's that 1 through 4?
I think 3 and 4 is the only two that – it depends on, you know, how impressive Michigan State is. And, again, if they eke out a 17-14 win over an Iowa team that nobody respects, I think Oklahoma stays third. I don't think Michigan State's going to jump Alabama. I don't think it's going to – I think 1 and 2 are pretty well set, assuming they win. I think the only question would be
who's 3 and 4.
Yeah.
My opinion. Like, if you asked me who I think are the two best teams of those that we just talked about, like what would make the best championship game? I think the best championship game would be Alabama and Oklahoma. I think those are the two best teams, right? Clemson. Listen, Clemson's good. They're very good. I've been high on Clemson all year long, but I think if Clemson plays Oklahoma, they're going to lose.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. We're also going to give you Jong has a little trivia contest for you. Jong, are you prepared to do this when we come back?
Yeah, we were talking about doing different kind of trivia and stuff and putting listeners on air. I went to go get coffee before the show. I ran into Raheel, and they did something really, really simple. They just gave a question, and the first person to get it with the intern got the prize, and he just read the copy points for the TV show and stuff like that. So okay. I think I'm leaning towards that way.
All right. So that's what we're going to do that when we come back, though. Okay. So you have to make a decision on this next break. All right. Here's a good decision you can make. Donate your vehicle. The one you're not using anymore, the one that's in that yard, the one that's in your garage, the one that's been sitting there forever. And maybe it's a car, maybe it's a truck, trailer, who knows? You know what? You can donate it. donate it to my good friends at Houston Can Academies. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow it for you. They're going to bring you the paperwork. They're going to take care of that. And your donation is tax deductible. No matter where you are, like if you're in Pearland, you're in Lake Charles, you're in Vider, they'll come tow it. Because all they want to do is get that vehicle and help you donate it. And you know what? You donate today, you're also going to get a $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you. A lot of Blitzers have donated their vehicles. They've all told me the same thing. It's so easy. They come and take care of everything. Guess what happens with those vehicles? You're changing lives because they're going to take the money from those and they're going to help kids at Houston Can Academy get through school. They're going to help them if they need glasses. They're going to help them if they need transportation. And these are kids who have dropped out. Now they're getting a second chance. So they're at-risk kids who are getting a second opportunity, and Houston Can Academies is helping them. They're working around their schedules. Some of them had to get jobs. That's why they dropped out in the first place. Well, they work around their schedules. They do all some of the health problems. There's all kinds of things that where they had to drop out of school. Well, Houston Can Academy is giving them a second chance. They're graduating great kids who are going on to do terrific things, and they get that chance because you're donating your vehicle. It's that simple. Give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226 or online at HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And you're going to need that because Jong is has got you covered here. Here's what you're going to win. A $50 Flash Cash gift card and the complete first season of The Flash on DVD. Tonight, The Flash and Arrow join forces for an epic two-night event only on the CW. Watch the crossover event of the season at 7 only on CW 39. On The Flash, a complete first season, and Arrow, the complete third season on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD now. Own The Flash, not won The Flash. Okay, so first caller who can do what, Jong?
So I'm going to give out a question, and the first caller to get the answer right will win The Flash, the gift card, $50 gift card, and The Flash for season one DVD. So the question is, Barry Allen is the protagonist on the show The Flash. It's rumored that Wally West, another Flash, is supposed to make an appearance next the second half of the season. The question is, who? There's two more speedsters that are considered the Flash in the comic books. Who is the other one to make an appearance at the beginning of this season?
Boy, you're going to have to do that whole thing
again.
Yeah,
I've made absolutely...
Jong, are you drunk? Have you been drinking?
No. All right. I'm kind of thinking as I go along.
You just
along.
Chose to, yeah. to give this question in the most ridiculously difficult way
okay,
possible.
Okay, so there's four Flash characters in the comic books, the main ones. There's Barry Allen, Wally West...
Jay Garrick,
and I think it's...
Bart Allen.
So which one of those other... two characters make an appearance on the first half of the season.
Okay. That's better.
All right. Are there guys yelling out there in the hallway again?
He's saying the first guy called won it.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
That was easy. I guess. I was confused. All right. So we have a winner. But guess what? We're going to do it again in the 6 o'clock hour.
Who's the Flash in the TV show, Joan?
Barry Allen.
Okay.
So there's more than one Flash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. They're a movie Flash and a TV Flash, or are these all TV Flashes?
These are no
They're comic book flashes.
Oh.
And I guess one of them has made it to TV.
Okay.
And the one that's going to be in the movie, I think it's Barry Allen again.
Who's going to be Flash in the movie?
He was in the Perks of Being a Wallflower, that movie. That's the only movie I need to look his real name up, but I remember him from that. He's really tall, lanky, black hair. He's a little weird.
Okay. I haven't heard of that.
He's supposed to make a cameo in the Batman Superman movie.
I didn't even know there was a movie coming. I don't know how I feel about that. I guess this TV show is pretty successful, though. My wife is big into this TV show on CW.
It's pretty good for a network show.
Yeah,
she loves it. It's kind of scripted like a network show. Like all network shows, you have a beginning where, you know, you're faced with a problem, and then in the middle where the protagonist, you know, gets beat up, and then at the end solves the way to beat that person.
Yeah.
But it's
so it's kind of like the old school, like Batman? Like it's sort all of. Self-contained episodes?
No, they do have a season arc storyline going, and the season one and season two, there's an arc going through both seasons. So you have to keep up with it if you want to watch it. But it's one of those fun shows that, you know.
Is The Flash getting chicks?
He's had two girlfriends at the moment, and the
goes back
Iris,
too fast for him, though.
Yeah, Iris West, his eventual wife, he confesses his love to her. Okay. But she turns him down.
Hmm. That's too bad.
I mean, do you think the Flash is really fast when he is having relations with her? It's got to be over quick for him, right?
I don't know.
Everything else is fast.
I know, like...
it's probably not that enjoyable for her.
The Flash can't drink beer. Like, he can't get drunk because his metabolism is too fast.
Yeah, they covered it on the show, and I forgot her name, but they came up with this vial that can get him, like, really pretty lit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That wasn't in the comic books, I don't think. But The Flash, I know, couldn't get drunk back in the day. I haven't read anything about The Flash in a long time. But good for them. These superhero shows, they're hit or miss.
Yeah.
And my wife is saying that Flash is really good and Arrow is really good. The Avengers one, what was it? The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
That was terrible.
I gave it a shot, and it was so slow.
Oh,
and the only time
who can watch this?
The only time it got good is when Winter Soldier movie was coming out, and they kind of had a parallel storyline going to it. And if you watch the show and the movie, it all made sense. But that, other than that, the show was pretty crap.
Yeah, that was a really bad show. But Gotham, I love it. Have you been watching it?
No, because I gave it a shot in season one. It was moving kind of slow, and I kind of ejected.
Yeah, it's really
crazy,
really hard for me to get into any network show. And even Blacklist, which I used to like, got into so much dumbing down that I watched this year, but I have not enjoyed it. It's just awful. I mean, it really is. James Spader's so good, it makes it worthwhile, but the rest of the show
he's the best.
It's just brutal. And I guess I'm turning into cable snob because – at least those shows, you know, for the most part, they've done a much better job of not dumbing it down.
Yeah.
That's all.
Hopefully one day, you know, we'll have cussing and boobs on network.
That'd be cool.
That's what we need.
Absolutely.
That's what we got to fight for.
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Got some open lines for you.
We have I found another guy in the office who doesn't wash his hands after he pees.
Uh-oh.
I won't name his name on the air, but I feel like I'll have to let you know. Also, here's another...
Yeah, I found one that doesn't flush either.
Oh, really?
I wonder if it's the same guy.
Here's another kind of question. When you use a public toilet, like when you use the bathroom at home, do you lift the toilet seat to pee?
At home?
Yeah.
Actually, I do, yeah.
Jong, are you a toilet seat lifter?
Yes.
Okay. When you're in public, you don't do that, right? You don't reach down and touch the toilet seat. You can't.
God, no. No, I don't touch anything. That's why if I use those ones in there, I'm kicking the thing to flush
it. Yeah, so if there's splash or whatever on the toilet seat, that's just something you have to deal with.
Right.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
Just making sure we're on the same page with that.
All right.
All right, I'm going to tell you once again about dirt-free cleaning. And, you know, there's some mud or some dirt on your carpet or rug right now that you can see. Let me tell you, what you can't see is even worse. What you can't see with the naked eye, the bacteria, the allergens, the flea eggs. Dirt Free is your one-stop resource for all your carpet, tile, and upholstery needs. Save yourself time by trusting Dirt Free to do the job for you. You don't want your pets crawling. You don't want to be walking around on flea eggs and you know, bacteria. You don't want your baby to be on the floor with that stuff. Be a responsible baby owner and get your floors clean, guys. I've used Dirt Free for a long time, used them in Austin. I use them here in Houston. They do fantastic work, and they leave the floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals, and it's mostly because they've got the best technology in the game. They're not using soaps or chemicals. They've got this patented pre-spray along with super water and van-powered equipment, and that's what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they are not coming back. And it's not just carpet. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with their unique patented technology. And they'll do it on Sundays now as well. Sunday service now available. Get a free room cleaned with a free speed dry with any purchase when you donate a new toy for Toys for Tots. 'Tis the season for giving in a clean home, and a clean home always begins with the light, brand new look and feel of clean carpets. Call 281-347-8373. It's 281-347-8373. Or visit Dirt Free online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free cleaning.
Cubicle, where I wrote this, what I'm saying. In my cubicle, where I hide out from my boss. In my cubicle, where I get lost in my thoughts. Although my life is beautiful, I reach my cubicle, I get the blue screen of death. And
this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Behold the king, the king of kings. Your knees, dog.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute, but right now, time for Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Mr. Solomon, what is going on, sir? Jerome? Buddy?
Jerome's not there.
Kyle? Looks like he's there. It says ready on the screen, does it not?
Sorry.
Oh, really? What are you doing, taking care of kids again on us? You hurting your ankle again? What the hell?
Phone was muted, okay? You know? And speaking of kids, Lord. When y'all made that comment a few minutes ago about putting your hand on a toilet in a public bathroom, my daughter made a weird sound. She was, say what you said earlier. Did you get that?
Yeah, that'd be disgusting.
Yeah.
No one would do that. No one's lifting the toilet seat to pee in a public restroom. But what are you doing letting kids listen to this show anyway? What kind of responsible parent are you?
It was accidentally left on.
Oh, okay.
And of course you guys want to talk about boobs and cussing, but
yeah,
you know, that's okay.
Pretty much every day.
They need to learn at some point, Jerome. Jeez.
Not this point. and not from you two. This is not the education I think my child needs.
I'm going to teach everybody. I should be the designated teacher about boobs and cussing to everyone.
Now, have you guys been getting since y'all spent a half hour talking about the Flash, I guess I spent 30 seconds asking about, I can't barely hear you. Is this the new studio thing acting up?
I don't know. What's going on?
Yeah, John, what the hell's happening here, pal?
Turn us up for Jerome.
Yeah.
Because
we hear you fine.
I was actually curious, Jerome, what you think. I remember they're doing now a Green Lantern, and there's going to be a black Green Lantern. Wouldn't it make sense for the Flash to be black? Like, there's no way a white guy's that fast, right?
What?
I don't know. If I were making comic books, I would have made the Flash black.
But when those comic books were made, you know, they wouldn't let black people do too much, so.
Yeah. I don't know. That should be something that's
actually
fixed
along the way.
I don't
know when the Flash started. I assume it's from the 40s or 50s.
I think, right? Yeah, I think it's maybe even like the 30s.
Yeah. Black people were real fast then.
They had to be.
We were being chased.
Oh, boy.
Well, Jerome, are the Texans the real deal? Is this what we've seen the last few weeks? Is this what the Texans actually are? Or are they something in between what they were early and what we've seen recently?
I would say they're somewhere in between because that's the norm and that's where they should be. I mean, I don't think any of the three of us are surprised that they're 6-5. We would have figured they'd be 5-6 or 6-5 when the season started. How they got here, though, is just been shocking. I mean, you know, I figured they would be, you know, 2-5 or 3-4 after the 7 games, but I thought they could win at Atlanta or at Miami. But even if they lost them both, I wouldn't expect them to get just smoked in those games. And then you turn around and not surprised they beat Cincinnati. I mean, but the team that played those first 7 games, I'm shocked that that team beat Cincinnati, and I'm shocked that that team hasn't given up a touchdown in 3 of the last 4 games. I don't know what this team is because they can't be that good, and I guess maybe they can't be as bad as they looked early on either.
Yeah, that's the weird part. It's I just don't know what to make of this team because the last four games in particular, their defense has been fantastic. They've looked like a completely different team. But how do we know which one's going to show up next week or this week in Buffalo? I mean, do you have any clue? Because I sure don't.
Well, one thing for sure, though, I mean, we could argue about how good we thought the defense was going to be, but we knew it wasn't going to be as poorly as it started the season. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So the defense, yeah, we didn't expect it to be ridiculous like it's been the last month, but it's supposed to be a lot better. And that defense doesn't have to be as good as it's been in the last month to beat Buffalo. It doesn't have to be as good as that to beat Jacksonville and Tennessee in the last couple of games. If it does that, the offense just has to not throw a game away and they can get to 9 wins. You know, winning at Indy, a lot more likely now that Andrew Luck isn't there. Of course, Indy doesn't believe that the way they've still been winning games. But, you know, I'm not quite sold on them anyway. And, of course, they'll lose to the Patriots. That's just a given.
Let's switch it to the Rockets because at what point is it time to start panicking? And what other moves do you have after you fired your coach? I mean, this is obviously not the start they wanted, but are things as bad as they look? Or is this kind of like the Texans, we can expect them to turn it around at some point?
I would have expected them to turn it around at some point if they hadn't already panicked and fired the coach. I mean, we were all firing Bill O'Brien, you know, halfway through it, and Rick Smith and everybody else, and still not sure that some of that won't happen at the end of the season. O'Brien's not going anywhere. But when they panicked to do that, they showed you that it was a true panic because Bickerstaff took over and things changed. Not how they played, but moving people around in the lineup and adjusting that and everything. So you're telling me that Mikhail wouldn't have made those moves? You're telling me that Mikhail didn't have the power to sit Ty Lawson, who's been playing terrible since he's been here? And the only games they can win is when James Harden decides to dominate a game from start to finish, basically. And was James saying, I'm not going to dominate games because Kevin Mikhail's the coach? There's something else going on there, and I'm not even going to lie and say I know what it is, but no, it's beyond time to panic. They've already panicked, and now they just need to start almost dismantling. I mean, that trade deadline at December 15th, I expect some movement for sure.
Yeah,
this group as is, I don't see them turning it around.
Shocker, and a couple tweets coming out that they're shopping Ty Lawson already. So,
oh, there's a... If they couldn't get rid of him on Black Friday, you know, ain't nobody buying. You know,
well,
I'm not saying he's the problem, but he's been terrible. So why would anybody really make a major move? The cool thing about the NBA, though, you get that expiring contract. And his reworked deal with the Rockets does cut off at the end of this season with the team option, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know if that transfers to the next team or not. I assume that it does. So his contract would be valuable in that sense. I don't know if you want that guy in your locker room on a team where you're just getting it for the contract. He's not that kind of guy from what we've, you know, seen through his career.
Jerome, we'll get back to the Texans real quickly because we haven't heard much about the Bill O'Brien Rick Smith disconnect because they've been winning games, but is that something that's going to have to be dealt with at the end of the season? Is there really an issue there between those two guys?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the hands-on or the actual how the machine operates, it's important for those two guys to have an understanding, and I think they do, and I think they've had an understanding. The big problem is when you lose and leaks start coming out about there being an issue between the two of them, the owner is not the kind of guy he's not that kind of guy. He doesn't do controversy. The Texans are not a controversial team. You know, they're not a team that likes to be in the news for anything other than football and prayer. So, Bob McNair is going to do something. I just get that sense that he's not going to allow those guys to continue at that. If they can't work together in peace without the media talking about it a lot. He's not going to let that continue. And, you know, and heck, we're still talking about a team that, would it shock you if they lost the next three games in a row?
No.
Not at all.
No.
And if they lose those three games in a row, then the best they'll have is going into the last week with one of those. Oh, if they win and three other teams lose by two touchdowns and blah, 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 they'll be technically in the playoff hunt. But out of it, I don't think Bob McNair is going to be happy with that, even with this beautiful four-game winning streak in the middle of the season.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, joins us every week, at least when he can, when he's not muting us. So, Jerome, appreciate the time as always, my friend, and look forward to talking to you or not talking to you next week.
All right, fellas, take it easy.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. All right, guys, got to tell you one more time about the Houston Can Academies and how they're changing lives every day. They're graduating thinkers. They're making us a stronger community. What they do is they get kids a second chance. At-risk kids who've dropped out, they get another opportunity when they go to Houston Can Academies. And so many of them benefit from that. So many of them go on to do great things, and you can help. It's very easy. All you have to do is donate that vehicle that you're not using. It's the one that's sitting in your yard. It's the one that's sitting in your garage. It's the one that's sitting out front of your house, and it's been there for months, and you thought about fixing it, maybe selling it. Well, you know what? They'll come and tow it for you for free. Absolutely free of charge. They're going to fill out the paperwork for you, and your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're getting a free $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's just their way of saying thank you. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is call 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, and say, hey, I got a vehicle, come get it. If you're in Galveston, they'll come get it. If you're in Beaumont, they'll come get it. If you can hear my voice, they will come get your vehicle, and they'll tow it for free. And they're going to use that money to help kids if they need a meal, if they need transportation, to work around their schedules so that they can help kids get through school, to get a second chance, and go on to do great things. 713-225-4226 or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Catch up on our shows, stay up to date on station events, news stories, contests, and more. Log on to ESPN975.com. And there's something else you can do.
What can you do, Fred?
You can go to podcastarena.com and pick up a copy of An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style by A.J. Hoffman with me. It's kind of like John and Raheel with Dell.
Right.
It's A.J. Hoffman with me.
I don't think that's the way it is.
Well, it's really good. Getting a lot of great response. It's very inexpensive, so still some football left, especially for the bowl season. So now's a good time. All right, let us do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
So, I know you, you're very familiar with Mary-Kate Olsen.
Yeah.
Did you ever self-pleasure over her?
A little skinny for my taste.
A little young probably, too, at this
point. No.
Jung?
Are you crazy?
Well, yeah, they're not too young for you as long as they're legal.
No, but their younger sister looks better than they do.
Okay, so Mary-Kate and Ashley were the twins, right?
Those chicks are 1 year younger than my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
6 months younger than my wife.
Bad news for you, though. She likes older guys. She's marrying a 46-year-old French dude.
Oh, too old.
Well, that's close to Fred's, you know, your range.
Yeah, it's my range. Yeah. Yeah. But my low range is
must be loaded.
Yeah, well, he's a banker, and his name is Olivier Sarkozy, and they had an intimate Manhattan ceremony on Friday night. So
intimate meaning like they got married while they were doing it?
Oh, I don't know. I think they meant more small.
But it was held
at a private residence on 49th Street. Cocktails were served in a rear garden before the 50 guests dined indoors. Everybody had to turn in their cell phones beforehand, which is good. Party decor consisted of bowls and bowls filled with cigarettes, and everyone smoked the whole night.
All right.
Bowls of cigarettes? That's a...
That's what French people are into.
Yeah, I guess so. It must be rich.
French people and artsy people. And Mary-Kate and Ashley are like super artsy.
And into French guy.
Apparently. Yeah, so it's a perfect fit.
Hmm. So, anyway.
They look a little like the... what's the Nightmare Before Christmas? Like that Jack guy on there? Like that's just how they're built. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I would just say if I wound up getting married again and was marrying a chick in her 20s, I would have lots of weed for everybody, as you know, so they could do that.
Which one just got married?
Mary-Kate.
Mary-Kate.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know the difference between the two.
I can't tell the difference either. Yeah. They look exactly the same. Like, for a while, one of them looked super methy, and the other one just looked a little bit methy.
Mary-Kate looks pretty methy. And so does her rich French husband.
Yeah.
He looks French, man. You know, the eyes barely open. That kind of guy. He's one of those.
Yeah, John, you're right. The younger sister is hot.
Hmm.
Hotter than them.
She was in the new Avengers movie.
I didn't know that.
She plays the Scarlet Witch.
Oh. I didn't know that was her. I didn't know that was their sister. That's a... See what happens when the youngest kid actually gets fed?
Or doesn't do meth?
Right. It's amazing.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, one of the guys that we talked about a little bit in the coaching thing yesterday was Mark Richt.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's a pretty hot commodity.
He should be.
He should. I think that's a guy that if I'm Virginia or Maryland, and I know he's apparently talked to Maryland, but even South Carolina, wouldn't that be a pretty good pickup?
South Carolina or Missouri. Listen, I'm not going to Maryland. I'm sorry if I'm Mark Richt. I just say, listen, guys, that's cute. I'm too big for your job.
Yeah,
no
thank
offense.
You.
You got to try, though, right? I might say the same thing about Virginia. I think you know who's probably regretting making their hire already is Virginia Tech, because that might have been a good spot for Mark Richt. But I think South Carolina and Mizzou have to be kind of the front runners. Another group that might be regretting is USC already making that decision, because no one knew that a guy like Mark Richt was going to come available.
Yeah, I think USC decided on this guy fairly early in the process, which surprises me.
Foolishness.
And look, I like the guy. I respect that he's a UH guy and a Houston guy, but that's not a that's just a very big job. And I was just a little surprised to see it happen. Mike says her husband is related to the French president. Okay, that means he's got money then.
All right.
So
good for them.
Yeah.
Listen, Mark Richt, this is a guy, and he's come out and said, I'll listen to anyone who has interest in me, which I think that's a good attitude. I do think, you know, people like Maryland and Virginia, that's more of a project than he should be looking for. But this is a guy who, if Nick Saban doesn't exist, Mark Richt probably has national championship trophies, you know? But Nick Saban does exist, so he's just a guy that can't beat Nick Saban, which, by the way, there's a lot of those lined up around the building. Mark Richt is a really good coach, man. Really good coach. And I think Georgia did kind of what LSU was thinking about doing. Like, they stopped remembering, they forgot what it was like before they had a coach like these guys. Like, LSU kind of forgot what it was like before Les Miles and Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And I think Georgia kind of forgot what life was like before Mark Richt. I mean, you go back to the 80s when they were really good, but it's been a long time ago now. Their expectation is higher than what's realistic. And I think they made a mistake. And I think that Missouri or South Carolina, or if it is Virginia or
another
maybe
one
Miami should take
a look at him. Miami allegedly has interviewed him. But according to ESPN, here's who Miami's interviewed. Mark Richt, Dan Mullen, Greg Schiano, Butch Davis.
Butch Davis, to me, listen, Butch Davis did a good job there.
Yeah, you know, and he knows what needs to be done there.
The problem is Butch Davis is a cheater.
So?
And he's in a place where cheating is easy, and it's going to happen. I mean, you know what's going to happen.
All these guys cheat.
Yeah, but he's a guy who's
he's dumb a sloppy enough to get
cheater.
Caught. Yeah,
he's a sloppy cheater.
He gets caught. That's the problem.
Dan Mullen, I don't know if I'm making that move. That doesn't make much sense to me. Dan Mullen is bringing relevance to a school that's never been relevant before.
Question is, though, if you're him, how much more can you do with that school?
That's a good question.
And I mean, last year they were number one at one point. I mean, can you really do much better than that?
And then Greg Schiano, isn't the bloom kind of off that rose? You want Greg Schiano now? I don't think I do.
I was just trying to read what Jose was put in. By the way, interns, it doesn't do you any good to type anything at the bottom because I can't read it from that far away. So
it was a get back to sports call. What were we talking
cares?
About?
I have no idea. Who cares?
I think when we gave away the Flash gift card.
Oh.
Yeah, honestly, we don't care about those calls. You don't need to let us know.
Well.
And I can't read it anyway. So.
Well, bye.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN.
We were talking about Mary-Kate and Ashley.
The gym of the day, same thing every day. Yeah, it's never sports. So
that's important conversation right there.
I mean, that thing could have been there for 2 hours, though, as far as I know, because I can't read it. So, anyway. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.